they put the gun back in my head and pulled the trigger. But in all that process, I remember that the Lord's Prayer came out. So this, everything's going out in supersonic speed. And then nothing happened. You're still there. You're in prison because you wouldn't be in prison. God doesn't want you in prison. So then he answered that prayer. I got the response that I actually got parole. I was walking around.
Hey, and welcome to Winning Conversations. We are glad you guys are here today. We have some special guests with us. We have Dolores and Arnold Annalise. How are y'all today?
We're blessed.
We're doing awesome.
Doing great.
Today.
We're really glad to have you. And we have another new face at the table this week. And maybe a few more times, we will have some guest hosts coming in. And today, it gets to me, my lovely husband, Ryan Flowers. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
I don't have the graphic tee like Dan does, so I got to up that game.
But. You do. But maybe the prerequisite for being a male host is no hair.
Yeah.
So we're keeping the bald. The bald.
Awesome. A little sunburn, but it's good.
Yeah. But we're glad y'all are here today, and we just had you guys on my hearts for a little while just because your guys' story is so dynamic, lots of pieces to it, lots of things. But y'all are treasures to our house, so much so that we wanted to take a couple episodes to really get a chance to hear it all. So I think that just giving some context, you guys have been married for almost 2 years now.
It's 2 years in May.
Newlyweds.
Still on a honeymoon.
Yeah, still, yeah.
Still honeymooning.
Aww.
Still holding her hand every day.
That's good.
That's important.
It is. You want to hold my hand too?
Okay.
But your life didn't obviously start out. You guys are newlyweds, but also in a mature stage in life. So we would love to kind of hear, Arnold, a little bit about your story. I know that it's been a little rocky, but now God has you on this side. So tell us a little bit about your life, maybe pre-Christ, just so for some context.
Well, my life pre-Christ was, first of all, you know, we were migrant workers. So we got to travel all over the United States doing migrant work. And so I met a lot of people and different cultures too. Awesome compared to from back home. I'm from South Texas.
Okay.
So, and my mom, you know, she tried to instill religion in us, or church, really church, because she wanted the best for us. You know, she wanted for us to know God. We went to different churches, you know. They're all in Spanish churches. And growing up, well, you know, but I really didn't go to church. You know, I remember when she would send me to Catholic church. I went one time, and then I didn't go again. I would dress up. I was, you know, in elementary, and so I would go and play hooky from church, you know. And then I'd kind of time it, and then they came out, so I would go back to the house. So I never got a communion or anything like that. So
okay.
But it's just my mom trying to teach us about God in the only way she knew how, you know. And so it was interesting. So growing up, I really didn't know much about God, you know, or Jesus, or I had no idea. I was more on the party side, partying, doing your own thing with your friends, outdoors and stuff like that. So it was like, and, you know, even after high school, that's when I started, you know, more delving into other things, other religions, different ideas.
Okay.
And it kind of just drew me away from God, you know, and it was an experience.
Right.
It is.
And that path kind of took you into some areas where you got into a little bit of trouble, right?
Yeah, a lot of trouble. The thing about it is, one thing that I realized now with, you know, with even my wife, the Lord, she's mentioned it a few times, is that God had a plan for me, and I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, he had a plan for me, and like, okay. And I didn't even ask what the plan was. So I remember when I started, you know, wanting things, you know, when you want things and you can't really afford them because you are limited for money. So you start, you know, doing illegal things, which I started doing at a very young age. And one of those things would lead me to go to prison. That's my first time in prison. I was 22 years old. I'm already, when I got my license at 15, Mm-hmm. I was everywhere, you know.
Oh, sure.
I was like
freedom.
Yeah, freedom. So then I started just getting kind of like, you're a grown man now, and you're only 15. So I remember not knowing God, not knowing who he is. So I started delving in the drug business, the drug world. And that got me my first prison sentence. I remember I got caught with some drugs over there. And I was buying some drugs in Mexico. And so they want to know who you are, who the drugs are for, and, you know, stuff like that. So if you don't say anything, they'll torture you. Which they started torturing me for about 12 days.
Oh, wow.
And they had me handcuffed in this hotel, me and this lady, friend of mine. So I'm 22 years old. I know one thing. I was raised that if you ever get caught in this business, you don't say anything because you're going to die regardless. Mm-hmm. So that was the mentality.
So you were keeping your lips shut. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So until then, when I wouldn't say anything, they either got to execute me or turn me
let
in.
You go.
Right.
Yeah, 'cause they came to pick us up, you know, from Mexico City to Monterey. So then I said, well, you know, he don't want to talk, so let's execute him. So I remember that clearly too, because it was like, I'm never going to see nothing again, my family. So this is where my life ends. So I was all beat up, tortured, handcuffed. So they put the gun back in my head and pulled the trigger. But in all that process, I remember that the Lord's Prayer came out, you know. And I don't know where I got it from. It came out in English. It came out super fast, like nano speed, like Our Father who art in heaven, but fast.
Wow. You
know? And like, in the whole prayer, not just the beginning, the whole prayer came out.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a long prayer.
That scene from when you were a kid.
From when you were a kid, yeah.
But I never heard it came in out. English, you know. Like she just said, maybe the Spirit translated from Spanish to English. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because Spanish is my main language. And so then I'm waiting. In that process, when I knew what's happening, everything's like in slow motion. I'm waiting for the bang, the explosion, and like a knock back in my head and darkness. That's what I'm waiting for.
Right.
And the prayer's coming out. So this everything's going out in supersonic speed. And then nothing happened. I'm still there. And I hear them cursing, you know, they were called the judiciales, judicial police. You know,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Back then. And so I'm thinking, I'm still here, mm-hmm. You know? It's like, when you think that, you're that's still here, because you know that you're still alive because you're still in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
right
somewhere yet.
Right.
And I didn't know God. I didn't know Jesus. But this just happened. So they're cursing, and they beat me up some more, pistol whipped me and everything. So then I hear the gun getting cocked, you know, and then it gets put back in my head, and the trigger gets pulled. But the same thing happened. The Lord's Prayer came out fast. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Like, that's slow motion. It came out super fast.
Okay.
And clear. It wasn't garbled or anything. And the gun jammed again.
Wow.
So I'm thinking,
two times.
Yeah, twice. I'm thinking, okay, Lord. I didn't even say that. I say it now because I know him. But back then, like, okay.
Yeah. You know now God had a plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So I know I'm thinking, okay, now they're going to try something else to kill me.
Right. Well,
the gun jamming or whatever, mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, they decided to, you know, it's like it didn't work. So let's just take him to prison. So they took me to prison. And I was there. Mexico, you can buy justice.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I bought my way out of prison.
Okay.
In Mexico. And I ended up back the same year. I was there like 10 months in prison. Mm-hmm. But while I was there, I did do some good things. While I was there, I became an English teacher, and I taught English to a group of inmates while I was there, yeah. You know. And
but that wasn't the large sentence.
Oh no, that was just
that was that, later.
Yeah, I wish it would have become a large sentence, you know, 7 to 15 years, because then I would have not come back and got the long, long sentence.
Right,
right.
You know? Everything is timing.
Yeah,
you right. Know?
And since I came back and. Again, I didn't know God, so I came back. I didn't have nothing when I came from Mexico. I didn't even close. Lost everything. So I came to back home in Edinburgh. Then we took a bus to Lubbock, mm-hmm. And I started working in Lubbock. I said, I can do this on my own again. So I got up on my feet again. And then in 1988, I moved 86 to Fort Worth, 1988.
Right.
I committed another crime, more serious of this, and then me with a longer prison sentence.
Right.
And life sentence.
Yeah, that one's supposed to be that's a life sentence. In prison.
That
yeah.
was that sentence you had told me once that it would have been the entirety of the rest of your life, right?
And that was the beginning, because then after that, I got three more stack sentences on top of that. So, okay, they're really trying to plant me. Or I'm planting myself, really. But again, I didn't know God at the time. So I remember when I got here in this county jail here in Tarrant County, ended up in a single cell. They call them suicide cells, because they don't want for you to have nothing in there. All you have in there is just your underwear. That's it. Wow. And a little mattress. So no sheets, no toothbrush. So you're there. So I'm just like, okay, I'm here. So I remember I needed to make a phone call, so they took me to the orderly's tank, because they have all.
Oh, yeah.
So I was making a phone call, and I saw a Bible. I never read a Bible in my life, but I can't have a Bible in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking around, you know. I'm on the phone. They have phones back then. I get the Bible, and I tear some pages off and kind of put them inside.
Put them in your pocket?
No, my shorts.
Your shorts. I guess so. Yeah. You don't really have a pocket.
I go back to the cell. And I tore some sheets of the book of Proverbs. I didn't know. I just grabbed a few sheets. So then when they put me back in my cell, I started reading. And it's like, man, they're talking about me here too. You know, that stuff. You know? I did that. That's why that happened over there. And I did this. That's why that happened over there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a revelation, you know, like this is. So that was the first time that I actually read parts of the Bible. When I was here in Tarrant County in segregation.
Right.
And so, okay. So I was there for quite a bit. So then after a while, I got transferred to regular population.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a hold of a Bible and I started reading. And I said, like, I didn't understand a lot of it. You know, I didn't. And I remember I had this man, his name was Gary Robertson. He used to come in there, and I was the only one there. I mean, listening to everybody else, dominoes and cards or whatever they were doing. And this man, he had a heart. He'd be talking to me, and he'd be crying. And he had his Bible and be preaching to me, reading to me, and he had water on his Bible. They're just like worn out, so many tears that he had shed different. And wow. So he's the one that led me to the Lord.
Wow.
You know, and I didn't know. He just talked about me, you know. Are you saved? Saved from what? You know.
Right. That's right.
You know, have you found Jesus? Where's he at? Stuff like that. So it's kind of, if you're a guy and you never encountered that, so what do you say, you know?
Right.
And then once I got sentenced, so I ended up at Cofield Prison. Back at the time in the 80s, it was one of the roughest prisons in Texas. Mm-hmm. End up there, so okay. 2 weeks off the bus, in there, we have riots all the time. So I get stuck in a riot, you know, part of the, you know. So you go with the flow or you die. It's the way it is.
Trying to survive.
Yeah, you survive. And so then I remember I ended up, we get locked. That's why it took me a long time to get my college degree later on, when the lockdown. But I had a Bible now. I had the King James, you know, and it's like the these and thous. I don't know. So kind of, it was hard to understand. But that was the time, like mostly when we were locked up in SEG, we had 8 hours of reading the Bible. Just reading. We had 24 hours, you know, lockdown,
mm-hmm.
but I would read 7-8 hours a day. Just read.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm kind of
right
putting some stuff inside
putting
of
the
me.
Word in.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I'm just like.
What would you say, looking back at that time, was like a revelation that you really felt like God gave you during that time in prison?
What he was doing, he was actually setting a foundation.
That's great.
You know, and I didn't know what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the point that I had one foot in and 1 foot out of in my relationship with God. And I did that for a long time. I have one step in and one. You know, the first time I heard God's voice, this is God. This wasn't the Holy Spirit. It wasn't Jesus Christ. It was God. And I was young. I was in prison. And he scared me. Because I didn't understand the language. It was like, now that we pray in the Spirit, I understand it. But back then, I didn't know nothing about that. But it was, but I understood the message. And the message was that I was going to hell the way I was going. Because I was in and out, you know. And it scared me to the core, to the inside, that I was trembling. And I was not one to be afraid. And I've only heard him one time, his voice. And it's just like, I mean, I was scared. I was trembling. I'm just me. I'm alone. I'm just like, you know, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. You know? And so then that's when I started getting more serious. Because sometimes you get, you know, you get in there because you're in prison. Let me do this. And then I said, no, I need to get more serious about this.
About your relationship with the Lord. Relationship
with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because he's not playing, you know, he's not playing. You either with him or against him.
You're it sounds playing. Like he was pretty serious with you.
Yeah, and he did scare me. So it kind of I changed. I started okay. What do I have to do? Mm-hmm. And it was like, but he started leading me, but I didn't know where I was going. So when I got there, I said, I have all this time. What am I going to do? I'm going to educate myself physically, spiritually, and intellectually. So right. I want to learn. Because I already have all this other stuff in here. And so I started taking steps towards that, to learning, going to church. Mm-hmm. I was working 6 days a week, 10-hour days at the kitchen. I had to make time to go to college and time to go to church and time for recreation. Mm-hmm. And so I went to about 4 different churches in there. Because sometimes we get the Pentecostal commence, I go there.
Right, you have all these churches coming in.
Seven Adventists come in, I'd be there.
Yeah.
So, you know, from Sunday to, you know, 7 days a week, I was going to church.
Yeah.
One day or the other. You know, so I was making time. And so I remember my brother kept saying, he visited me for all my time that I was there, saying, you're in prison because you wouldn't be in prison. God doesn't want you in prison. And I said, I don't understand. Like, yeah, see, you're there because you want to be there. God doesn't want you there. God wants you out here with your loved ones doing his work.
Right.
I'm thinking. So it took me 20 years to understand that concept. Finally, when I understood, because I was happy there, you know, meaning that, okay, not happy, happy. I'm like, well, this is my home now.
Yeah, there's a sense of acceptance. Like this is where I'm at. I'm going to make the most of it.
Yeah, you know, make the most, and that's where I was at. And then I had other sentences that were pending. They got stacked on top.
Right, so made your time even longer.
And added more time. So then, now I'm not going nowhere. You know, and now maybe with the other sentence, which was a life sentence. Now I got a life sentence plus 3 more numbers on top. And he kept saying, no, you're there because God wants you there. You're there because God wants you there. I mean, sorry. You're there because you want to be there. God wants you out here.
So you were in there and learning all these things about God and getting all of these experiences, and you found out then that God didn't really want you in prison anymore. He didn't want you in prison.
Yeah.
And so tell us how that supernaturally happened, that you're even with us today.
Because what I asked the Lord is, if you take me out of state prison, send me to federal prison, then I'll get on my knees and thank you. Because once I'm out of state prison, then federal prison is nothing. Mm-hmm. 10, 15 years is nothing there.
I've heard federal prison is not as rough.
Well, it's rough. It is rough. State. It actually is a bit rougher. Oh. But what I'm saying is, there I have a release date. I can get out.
Mm-hmm.
From the state, I have no release date. Mm-hmm. I'm going to die there. So then he answered that prayer. So when he answered the prayer that I got to respond that I actually got parole, I was walking on air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, now I'm leaving this place. I'm going there. I'm getting out. That's when I ended up in Atlanta. And I ended up learning about Andrew Womack.
Okay.
His ministry in Atlanta, Georgia.
Great.
And he's the one that taught me. I ended up over there, ended up doing 19 months in the hole. So that was my school. That was where I'm one-on-one with the Holy Spirit right there.
No, and then you didn't have any more distractions.
I'm right there. I mean, I can't go nowhere. I'm just here 24/7. I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's when I had time to, like, he showed me some things, and it's like, oh my God. And prayers were answered.
That's where you really got freedom.
Yeah. I didn't want to leave. I said, I can do the rest of my time right here. Leave me here. I can do it right here. But then once I learned everything that I had to learn there, even the when he healed my blindness there, because I went blind and he healed it. The Lord healed it right there. Then he took me out and sent me back to population. So then that's when, okay, I'm doing work for the Lord now.
Right.
I'm gonna do work for the Lord out here. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take all the miracles he's done for me, everything, I'm gonna show people out here. And it was fun. And it was like he moved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, the stories can go on as far as
God
has done there.
Yeah.
But he restored me. Because at the beginning, when I became a fanatic, I read it and I loved it. But then I was, you're doing this wrong. I smack you with a Bible. You're doing this, you know, scripture, like debates.
Right.
You know. And then when I learned, it's about him, not about us, it's about him.
That's good.
And it's like,
I'm sure that there's tons of times when God protected you. I've heard some of these stories. Mm-hmm. They're amazing.
Uh-huh.
How has what you learned in there and in really establishing that God relationship, that one-on-one relationship, how's that been for your life?
It's been awesome because I've been able to share my story in different places, and it helps people. And what the best thing is people can see it. I'm just, you know, when I left prison, you're coming back. You're not going to last long out there. You're coming back. This is your home. And I've been out here since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still, all I have is God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he kept me going. So why that I'm out here, why should I let go of him?
Yeah.
He's the one that's, you know, all the favor he's given me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this beautiful wife he's given me that he blessed me with. You know, and it's like, it's him. And whatever you need, you ask for, if you let him know,
mm-hmm.
put it right there.
And Dolores, what have you seen since you've met him in the time you guys have been together? What changes have you seen in Arnold?
Well, I mean, in getting to know him, I've seen him grow for sure. But I've seen the prayers, how in praying, the way God's directed me how to pray, and how those things work. You know, in a marriage, and we hear this all the time. Oh, I'm going to marry, but I'm going to change him. You know, I don't like what he does here, but I'm going to change him. But you know, I've learned that through prayer and allowing the word to do the work, and instantly, and transition takes place. Right. So I've seen how he's grown. I've seen the blessings work in his life, because I've heard the stories and I've heard how, you know, where he was at, how much money he was living on. It's like, man, you made it on that little bit of money, but yet. And out here, and his giving, and I've learned that in being a giver and doing, and with no kind of regret in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
So I've just seen the power of God, the word of God, and I've seen him grow, because at first he wouldn't really pray out loud. He wasn't really praying in the spirit. Mm-hmm. He was very analytical. He'd try to analyze.
Yeah, I think
everything.
We felt that. Very smart.
Yeah,
very
smart. Exactly. And trying to, okay,
things out.
Figured, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I've seen how, you know, the word of God, like I said, and him praying in the spirit and him becoming bold to start speaking things out and start sharing when he really wouldn't do too much of that.
Mm-hmm.
He would pass out tracts and let that do the sharing. But mm-hmm. now his voice, his own, you know, I know he's learned the power of God,
mm-hmm.
that what God can do through him. So So I've seen that, some major transition.
That's awesome.
Growth.
That's awesome. Arnold, being here plugged in at Heritage, and I know you work with Ryan at JSMI too. How has that, how's the church really, the teaching, how have you grown just being here and plugged in here?
Well, I was blessed, first of all, when I met Brother Jerry at the production, and I spoke to him. The first time I spoke to him, I said, you know what, Brother Jerry, this is a gold mine here. And I'm blessed to be here, you know, because this. And he said, yeah, this is life. It's all there in books and CDs. And his canopy of favor is, I'm under it. Mm-hmm. Regardless, I'm under it, you know. And now that I know about these things, it's okay, I'm going to build on it. Okay? Where we have this, the canopy, like I said, it's on us, because we're one.
Yeah, right. You
know? So whatever... It's on me, it's on her, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just like, it's been, and I've been working with Ryan and Dylan and Richard, and they're awesome too. It's like, we have the perfect team, because everybody's got their part of life that they share with you, and it makes mm-hmm. yours better.
Right.
You know, and they share yours with them, they can see mm-hmm. things, and we... It's like we say, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Yeah. And every morning is me and Richard. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll be glad and rejoice in it.
That's good.
You know, because that's our life. And this church mm-hmm. is awesome. I've been here, I'm going on 2 years, Heritage of Faith. Mm-hmm. And I don't plan on leaving. Unless, you know.
Please don't.
No, I get calls somewhere else. But this is my home church.
We're glad you're here.
As a matter of fact, Sunday, in that class, I'll become a member.
That's awesome.
I sign the contract. Yeah,
put it on paper.
It's going to be fun. This is awesome. This church is like.
Right. Yeah. So now that you've gotten in, you're gotten plugged in, and so you've seen, you know, our theme here is making winners in life. So what does that mean to you to be a winner in life?
Well, I give all the praise and honor to God first for making me that winner. And we've gone out and ministered. And it's like an honor. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like, God, thank you for this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to stop there. You know, it's like that little box they have, 6,000. We're going to go over 6,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
We're going to take the word out there. That's what I like to do. Even if you don't speak the word, you walk the word. People see you. Okay. You bring that anointing with you wherever you go. If you go to church, you bring your anointing mm-hmm. with you. You don't leave it behind. You bring it in there. So that's what the Lord's been doing for us. You know,
being a living example.
Living example. And we're walking it. We walk it wherever we go. And I love it, you know.
That's awesome.
I will never let it go. Because it's all I have. And it gets better. You know, it doesn't. Yeah. It just keeps getting better.
I feel really like, Arnold, the sky is the limit for you. Mm-hmm. Like you're just stepping into this new season, and we're really glad to be along for the ride. I think it's going to be really fun.
Oh,
thank you, Ryan, for asking that question, because I've asked it a lot of times. So it's nice to pass it off to somebody else. Yeah. Yeah. And that's an excellent answer. Yeah. So in part two, we'll ask you the same question. So be ready.
So be thinking.
Yeah.
Be thinking.
But we really thank you all for being part of our church family. You guys are, I know we haven't gotten into the Lord's stories, but you've been here for years. So we're so glad to hear about that in the next episode. So let me just encourage you. I hope you all enjoyed hearing Arnold's story. When you see him, just give him a hug and tell him how much you appreciate where God's brought him. And then tune in next week. We're gonna continue with part two and hear a little bit more about Dolores and their life together now in their honeymoon phase, in their honeymoon era. And thank you, Ryan, for being a guest host.
It's fun.
That was really fun. Yeah. So anyway, thank you all, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.